about that. Okay, so I have very little time. Let me remind you of the screen. This is from Time Stream and Cosmic Parameters. And this is all basically by design. What is absolutely fundamental is this step where you go from a map to the band tower with well-described statistics, because what we used to do is we used to go here to here. Not possible, Dimitri mentioned this, but this is the way that this is calibrated, actually. And I can say that there's some things we don't know about our approximation. We know that it works really well within band. We also know that for these experiments, the band-band correlations are not big. And so it's likely that there's no big problem. But once you start to get really fine grid, the question is, what are the band-band correlations? And have we a perfectly predictable camp? This is still an open issue in the BJK thing that we never resolved, which is multidimensional log-normal cross things. And so there's still one open issue in this that needs further investigation, and we have to do it because it's fundamental to the technology that's coming out. Okay, here's something which I think you've seen versions of, maximum boomerang, combined optimal parameter best, where the parameters now are band powers here, best fit, the Cody just put as one bin down here. The reason I'm showing this, you've already seen it, is this. This is binned on the same maximum thing. Data to April 99, which then Toko came along, the B97 came along, and binned on the same maximum bin, this is the way the results are. Not too bad, huh? In other words, the thing that appeared in Lang et al. Was a different binning. Binning can cause things to look different, and this is pretty good, right? This is pretty neat. The unified vision of the way things look back in December, basically, before any of this stuff was, any of the new stuff was let out the door. When you combine April 99, TOCO, B97, maximum B98, this is what happens to the combined best spectrum. And so you see there's a little migration of not a huge amount. That is to say, the combination of these two and the combination of everything don't change things a lot. That's
the way it is.
This is all included. Simultaneous analysis, including the calibration
and marginalizing the calibration.
Yeah, I know. Well, it's simultaneous. And this is without maximum boomer, wherever it was. It was without maximum boomerang included. You know, B97 plays an important role in this as well, right? Because you know that it looks somewhat like the B98 data. Not that there was. Okay, this is some prior stuff. These are the distributions we actually took for large-scale structure. You don't want to look at that. I think that some of the points are the powerful move of large-scale structure here. This is only a lambda omega C. This is just DMR. The black is DMR only. This is the point that Dimitri also made. But this is what happens as you go DMR, April 99, April 99 plus TOCO, April 99 plus TOCO plus B97. And then with all of the data, these are two sigma contour curves. I learned that particle physicists at a recent meeting, they only like these colored things that give this nice visual representation. So what you see is that basically the prior nails over the C, even with DMR, and then things start to localize up. Red is with all of the data combined. This is two sigma, by the way. And green is when you add supernova in the walk-in towards under the lambda. You've seen this thing. This is boomerang and maxima. Oops. And this is with all of the data. And if you didn't see that much difference, you were right, except that there is, as you might expect, somewhat of a movement onto the omega less than one side, just because of things. This is the way I prefer to look at this. And here's the supernova. This is the land over again. This cyan is no prior. These are, of course, highly artistic, fundamental points of the data here. Weak prior. This is the combined movement of the boomerang. go back and show how things evolve. So this is what you get from DMR alone in this beautiful abstract space here, showing some database issues, which I won't get into. Some interesting, anyway. So big red swath with large scale structure, but obviously DMR isn't going to tell you much. At supernova, you could say you got over that lambda from that. Now, April 9, yes, one, colors. April 99 data. At TOCO, sharpens things up. Cyan here is the no prior case. And then we do the weak red and green as LSS supernova. Then when you add B97, focuses up a bit, but you never get rid of this no prior. That's the multiple solution issue. And things, of course, lock up a bit. But you can see that when you added large-scale structure, you were already getting some amusing things, as we even noted a long time ago, that with large-scale structure and the April 99 data at omega k equals 0, there was, you know, some indication of omega lambda. Okay, so here is the L-peak issue that I promised to at least address marginally. There is an evolution. There is also a technical question of how you go about it. So what was done here is that, and I actually think that this is not a reasonable thing to do, this was taking the database and calculating the mean of F ln L peak and the variance of ln L peak over the entire database. Now you can say that that's not precise enough, and there are other methods for doing this. The main thing is things move around depending upon exactly what you do for this, as we'll see in a moment. Okay, so this is moving from April 99 forward, doing things in somewhat different ways. Red here is if you do mean L peak instead of mean ln L peak and variances of that. Mostly when the data wasn't so good, it moves things. And then as we move through to add things, things move a bit. I suppose if you're going to look at a target, you might look at this number here, 212 or so, which is sort of the average of everything together.
But if you're, because this TOCO alone has error bars half that size, right?
Yes, I can do it. I'll bet on this day. Well, I haven't done TOCO alone. It is true that when you add TOCO to the prior data, there's a bit of schizophrenia going on. Because two experiments that you were on are trying to decide different things. Saskatoon is trying to say one thing, TOCO is trying to say another thing.
Saskatoon, right. I think what happens is you add Saskatoon, Saskatoon is going to go to Ohio.
That's correct.
TOCO is going to go.
That's correct. And so this is essentially the average. But I don't have the TOCO alone numbers here. I will do that in your honor. What? Yeah. Well, it's variances. It's means over the entire database.
You took the 97 likelihood to marginalize over everything except LP.
Well, it's actually calculating the mean. Uh-oh.
I am about to be chastised. Well, I've been speaking loudly, so be okay. Fortunately, none of that was recorded. What did I do? As I said, it's the mean value of ln L peak over the entire database. So it's the mean value and the variances. It's an easy thing to calculate. We've also done likelihoods and all that kind of stuff using somewhat different techniques. Anyway, the basic point here is that at least when you do it this way, there is, yes, the offset between maxima and B98, but it's not as big as the effect that you're saying.
Yeah, well, it's just because you got in the data.
No. Up here is B98 and maxima. That's the issue that you wanted to address. And as I say, the error bars are bigger here when you do it over the database than you get using other techniques.
Right.
But say, plus or minus 17, eh?
3 plus B98 is
3. Oh,
well, but the other threshold is that you're saying for some reason your way of weighting it is that you have a larger error problem.
Yes. It's a question of how much of a big deal you want to make about the details of Lon L peak, which are not a fundamental cosmological variable. They do have an interesting linear combination, which is related in an interesting way to eigenmodes, but it is not the most fundamental variable that we're dealing with. I might also say that we didn't do L space truncation or anything like that in this. We basically let the database speak to itself. Anyway, this is, in December, before any of this was released, this does show a migration using a different method, which uses the sort of it was a reasonable database, not as big as this one, but it did allow peak shifting so that you could do a fine grain on this. And the value we got with the B97 plus TOCO plus April 99 was about 213, migrating down from the 224 with a smaller error when you do it that way. So you see there are issues of exactly how you want to do things. And there was a pretty, a migration from the 250 that one was getting before, about a little over a year ago. Anyway, so basically, the peak I completely agree that the peak was pretty well set by the prior data. Okay, some more quick things then, which are these beautiful color crazy plots of DMR, localization of NS. What happens when you add things at the 2 sigma level? The supernova don't make any difference relative to large-scale structure, bit of a difference there. And when you restrict yourself to omega total equals 1, these are just nice color versions of the tables. Similarly, this is the little omega b localization of old data. Old data, DMR, as you might expect, doesn't really tell you about omega b. At April 99, it's a yellow curve, which actually nominally would determine things a little bit better than when you add TOCO. That's the cyan. Blue is max B97 plus TOCO plus April 99. And then you get locked in. Large-scale structure doesn't make any difference to the movement down in this direction. So this is the week prior. You get well localized, of course, when you add the other data. Okay, do we really want to look at this? Too complex, but it does show the evolution, for example, of omega lambda as you add data. In particular, this one is B98 plus maxima plus TOCO plus B97 plus April 99 with the omega lambda determination of that data just by itself with the caveat of the week priors, and this is, of course, with the large-scale structure locking it in. You get a little bit of NS migration, but there was still not a bad NS determination from the prior data. Omega B is really one of the big stories here. Okay, side comment on neutrinos, massive neutrinos, which is the statement that, of course, you can't do anything with neutrinos at this stage of the data. I just had to put that in. Hey, I bow to the master. Try as we might, we'll never reach that level. Okay, but this is what happens with the massive neutrinos. Certain things like NS and omega B. So this was just, all that matters is the large-scale structure that you stick in and how that does things. And so this was put in an approximate way, the same way we did it in Bond and Jaffe. And two things to note. NS and omega B are absolutely stable against putting in the neutrinos or not. We aren't at this stage trying to detect massive neutrinos with the data. We just wanted to show what happens, and what happens is not surprising. There's omega lambda migration because omega matter migration, which occurs just because the spectrum has been effectively flattened when you add the neutrinos. And the color version of this is that there's migration in the omega m h squared omega lambda plane. I'm almost finished. Here are some numbers. I don't know if you want to look at those numbers. They all sort of look the same after a while. Combined data, it's still you know, got a little bit of this closed business, which I hope that you don't take too seriously, you know, but within the errors, no problem. Here's the B98 and DMR. This is the week priors. Omega B stable throughout the addition of this data. NS stable. Omega C stable. And this is a restriction of all of the data to omega equals 1. And essentially interesting stability. It's actually quite amazing. Okay, one other comment. Because I'm a theorist, I get to show slightly more optimistic things than John was able to show yesterday. This is taking the error bars of the B98 nature spectrum, trying to mimic it in a forecast. You know, we all do forecasting, right? Has forecasting got anything to do with anything? Of course, the issue is all systematics, not forecasting. Forecasting gets you the money to make the experiment. That's always a good thing to do. But green are the error bars of the Nature paper. Red are the forecasted error bars with more or less the right numbers in. And it's not too bad. Cosmic variance limited up here. The errors in the patch of the sky, et cetera, there. This is with 4 of the 150 channels instead of 1 being used. And a slight increase to an increase to 2.5% of the sky on 7-minute pixels. Beam uncertainty will have to be addressed down here in order to be able to actually realize this kind of error bars. That's a big issue for the collaboration. But just the increase in sky data, you know, straightforwardly is going to deliver pretty good results, we believe. But the point I wanted to make here is that one of the nice concepts that comes out of analysis of this sort in this complex multidimensional space of parameter eigenmodes. Parameter eigenmodes are basically, what's the terminology? Well, anyway, they're the rotation into the modes which are statistically independent of each other. And they are linear combinations of all of the modes that you have in the database. The best thing you can do is to get things that are close or not. And one of the interesting points is that there are 3 well-measured ones with the B98 data, and the rest aren't as well-measured. And that's what all of this whole projection is talking about, really. The parameter eigenmodes in this particular case were done using a nice little trick, which I won't get into here. So 3 linear combinations with the B98 data to 10%, that will be improved, that's for sure, but not by a lot, because you can't with the data just over this range. But the forecast and the reality work well. That's the same number you get with the forecast. If you appropriately do the errors, you get about the same kinds of numbers that we're getting out. So forecast and reality do, in fact, give relative agreement, which is a nice thing for those of you who are forecasting, subject to the fact that there could be a systematic sitting there somewhere, but the error bars agree. Okay, anyway, so that's, I think, basically what I wanted to end on, except to say that the parameter eigenmodes, we've already had enough of discussion about this, so we probably don't need to do it anymore. But using their so-called physical variables, omega BH squared, omega CH squared, which do correspond to the physics of what's happening at recombination, are definitely far preferred to using capital omegas for anybody who still wants to use capital omegas. Whether you use capital omega lambda and capital omega K or little omega lambda and little omega K really doesn't make that much difference, because that's late time effects. So you can use, and so in fact that's what we do, because it's very nice to have an omega k equals 0 set in your database. Okay. Oh, I'm choosing. I will choose the friendlier no. Just kidding, Max, just kidding. He's going to nail me more, of course. Say that again? No. In fact, actually, what was done for the eigenmodes, for example, is it was the average over the entire database, the average of the fluctuations over the database. I'm not sure that's a relevant point.
Well,
so I wasn't using Fisher for this. I was using the mean correlation. But I agree with you. No. It's a terrible thing to do. I completely agree.
Well, what I'm wondering is, it's sort of terrible. Okay. But I wasn't sure. How far away do you think we are? How much better? So we go to the blue thing. Are we going to, do you think the likely construction is then?
Yeah. It is absolutely clear that as soon as, and you can already, maybe we can see something about this. So this was the B98. Remember this guy? This is the second solution. Dimitri showed some of this, but this is what happens to that second solution with all of the data. Okay, so it's still there, still feels it, but it's way down. Dimitri already made that point with the B98 and Maxima. So as soon as we start to womp down on the 800s and so on, this thing is just going to, it's not going to completely go away, but it'll largely go away. So it's going to focus.
Yeah.
No, exactly. You could do that around the so-called cosmological peak. It's not too bad. The trouble is, the database, there are certain eigenmode directions where the database truncates before you get to the edge of good falloff. That's one of the reasons that you have to be rather careful about the projections, right? So that it's not the usual. The effective numbers of degrees of freedom, if you do an entropy log likelihood plot of how that grows, that's like a chi-squared plot. Right, you do get, and this is part of the answer to having "quote unquote" too good a fit. You basically the best fit is guaranteed with a large enough database to have a low chi-squared, right? And then it goes up, reaches a peak, comes down again. Not surprising. And there's an effective number of degrees of freedom here. And what took me by rather surprise is that you do that fit, and it's basically a question of the dimensionality of the space as you're opening it up. It's only like 2.5 to 3. And that's a sort of an expression of the parameter eigenmodes, but not perfectly, especially the parameter eigenmodes. So it is complex. It's not a trivial thing. This space, I might say, I don't know that many. I mean, I know that lots of people do multi parameter fits, but I think that we are actually, in our subject, blazing a bit of new territory with a 7-dimensional theoretical parameter fit to this sort of data. And so it's actually sort of a new phenomenon. I mean, certainly we found things that didn't quite expect in this. Well, I don't know. Particle physicists do things a bit differently than we do, but they usually don't deal with, 7-dimensional theoretical spaces. Right. Well, I mean, that's basically taking slices and it's in part, for example, restricting themselves to omega equals 1 and going off of it is in some sense an expression of fixing a parameter. And you can do that. We certainly looked at that. I am not sure that this will all... I don't know exactly what the community would do with those numbers. No. But the eigenmodes change depending upon the space you're dealing with. No, but it depends upon the range of L's that you're using. Right? So the eigenmodes for map, which is an exquisite experiment, are different than the eigenmodes. That's true. That's actually not a bad way of presenting it. That's not a bad way of presenting it. So it's a perturbation about the best fit, or mean value, actually.
So you mentioned that you thought the barren density was one of the most interesting things here. So if you plot the barren density,
did I?
Quoted by a nucleosynthesizer as a function of year, it's a very amusing and quite sharply rising curve. I found my PhD thesis lying around recently, and there's a quote there saying that Walker et al. Has shown that H is going to make a barren with 0.015 in the error bar test plot. And during the creation of this new field of course, of getting enough to the error bar, sort of like with the Hubble constant. I didn't understand more than that from the audience. Anyway, I just like that, and Mark Scanlon Castro was alluding to this yesterday also. I'd like to hear more comments from you about what you feel the deal is with the baryon fraction. If you think that the nucleosynthesis is going to budge a little bit and it's going to fall up to 1.024, or what you think is going to happen.
Yes. I would say there's no compelling quote-unquote solution to the high omega B problem at the moment that's been suggested. But there have been some suggestions, and so you can, you know, that I think there will be more thought on this. However, I must say, we used to, in my ancient days of, 10 years ago, 0.025 was the standard number that you stuck into your hydro code. Right? That was the standard number, and it had an official stamp from Chicago. Yeah, omega B H squared, 0.025. And then it locked down to 0.0125 with, what was it, a 6% error, something like that. It was an amazing phenomenon. And then, of course, it migrated, well, first of all, it bifurcated, then it migrated up. And one of the things I find quite one of the things I find quite disturbing in astronomy is this issue of systematics compared to statistical. And what you get is great statistical with huge systematic movements. And the Hubble parameter story is the classic example, which really is amazing. But, you know, some systematics you don't know. But I hope that our subject doesn't fall into that problem, because we've got great data. The data is coming. It is, we're dealing here with, given everything that we believe about an experiment, we have great statistical errors. And, you know, but there is so much that is going into these analyses, not the least of which is the last bug that has yet been found, that, I mean, basically, if you take this, the values we've got at any one time too seriously, well, it may generate theoretical papers, but... Yeah, we get great statistical uncertainties, and we will have beautiful error bars about possibly the wrong value.
But is your feeling about the bang nucleosynthesis that you wouldn't be too shocked if it turned out that they had to move up to 0.024?
I certainly wouldn't be. I really don't see how they can move a lot. The problem is we know, in my view, the big deal is helium, not deuterium. And so you push helium too much, you're up to 0.025. Okay, but on the other hand, you know, helium is actually extremely common. I mean, we've always, you know, remember a 0.19 number for helium, right? My ancient history. But, basically, helium is tough to get to because you're dealing with an H2 region. So I don't know if it can slip up to 0.25. Certainly in many of the stars we know about, it's 0.28, 0.29, right? I mean, you know. I really think that I like the fact that there was a more generous interpretation of error bars, but I have heard it said that Mr. Teitler is adamant about the 0.002, which I just find startling. Well, I agree with that, except that there is a you have to be a little careful with the CMB data of, say, I'm going to fluff up the error bars a lot.
Yeah.